thank Mr. Greer for the warm words of welcome, for the minister, the session, for this opportunity to bring a word from the Lord. We thank you who are visiting here tonight, and we give you again a warm welcome in the Lord's name, and we trust that the Lord will speak to you, you who are unsaved, that the Lord would not only speak to you, but save your never dying soul. Have God's word before us. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And if you don't have a Bible with you, well, you listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And we're commencing our reading there at verse 11. Let us hear God's word. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, that is, the coffin, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. We'll end the reading there at verse 18, knowing that the Lord will bless the public reading of his word, as he said he will do so. You who are saved, you pray with me now, seeking God's face for his help upon this meeting, knowing that we need his help, and fain is the help of man, praying as one man under one head. And again, as I've said already, you who are not saved, you ask God to speak to you, and not only to speak to you, but to save that precious soul, never dying soul that will live on forever. Let us unite our hearts now. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to that most important part of the meeting, the preaching of divine truth. We confess that we're not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truths, but we thank thee worthy as the Lamb of God which was slain. We come in redemption ground, for it is the only ground that we can come. We thank thee for that acceptance, for the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And I ask of thee in his name that thou will empty me of self and of sin, fill me full of the Holy Ghost and with power. Lord, thou hast said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And therefore we simply bring back your truth before thee. Do as thou hast said. Help us now in this our time of need. We're poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon us. Save the lost. Do that gracious work, that divine work that only thou can do. Bless sinner and saint alike. And help us, we pray. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask all these things. And for thy glory alone, for it's in his worthy name we ask it. Amen. Amen. We live in a day when many preachers are giving up on what the Bible teaches and says about men's sins and godlessness. People are not often told now that they are guilty sinners before God, that they are children of wrath, that they are born in sin, that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Yet there is, however, one preacher left who speaks today loudly and as clearly as ever. He's not a popular preacher, though he travels over every part of the globe and speaks in every language under the sun. He visits the poor. He calls upon the rich. You may meet him in the workplace or find him moving in the highest circles of society. He preaches to every religion and of no religion. And whatever text he may have, the substance of his sermon is always the same. He's an eloquent preacher, for he often stirs feelings which no other preacher could reach, and brings to tears the most indifferent of people. He addresses himself to the intellect, the conscience, and the heart of his hearers. His arguments are irrefutable. Every conscience quails, and every heart must be moved by his presence. You see, most people hate him, but in one way or another, he makes everybody hear him. The preacher's name is death. Yes, you've heard many sermons from this preacher. You cannot take up the newspaper without finding that he has a corner in it. Every tombstone across our country serves him for a pulpit. You often see his congregations passing and coming from the graveyard, and his visits are remembered with mourning. Perhaps he's spoken to you personally. The sudden departure of a neighbor, the solemn parting with that dear parent, the loss of a valued friend, the awful gap that was left in your heart when your fondly wife or husband or your young child died. All of these have been loud and solemn appeals from the preacher. And the point is, he may have you for his text. And then your bereaved family circle, by your graveside, he may be preaching to others. And so now, we step into the scene. A father gone. A husband gone. And a young man cut off in the prime of his life. And now it seems that there is nothing or no one to prevent this young man from being buried and sealed away forever. And yet, friends, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came into this sin-cursed world. To reverse all the effects of the fall. And so we find the Lord in the city of Nain. The Lord in the city of Nain. Firstly, the situation the Lord confronted. The situation the Lord confronted. Verses 11 and 12. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. We understand from the reading of the chapter before that which we've read already, we understand that the previous day the Lord was confronted with a situation in Capernaum. We read in Luke chapter 7, verse 2, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. You see, the centurion understood that only the Lord could deal with such a situation, that he alone could reverse and command away the sickness. Furthermore, to the point, he understood that the Lord didn't even have to go to the house, but that he only had to speak the word only. And so the elders, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. You see, the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, by the word of his mouth, reversed the whole situation. And so we find him now in the city of Nain. He's confronted with yet another circumstance, verse 12. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Notice with me that the Holy Ghost places emphasis with the word behold. It doesn't read, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, there was a dead man carried out. The Holy Ghost places emphasis with the word behold. We are to pause. We are to take notice of this situation. Behold, there was a dead man carried out. Behold, there was a dead man carried out. You see, he's confronted with a corpse, which paints the picture for us of the state of the natural man without Jesus Christ. You see, the natural man is dead. Dead spiritually. He is devoid of spiritual life. And so, here's the true condition of the soul outside of Christ. He's lifeless. Just as the body is dead, incapable, unable, unfailing, and soon to be corrupted, so are we if we are not quickened by divine grace. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead on account of. Dead because of them. You see, man is spiritually dead. Dead to God. He's utterly indisposed. Disabled. And made opposite to all good and holy inclined to all evil. Man sins because he is a sinner. Man sins because he is a sinner. You see, the whole situation in the city of Nain and further afield was caused by sin. As Paul states in his epistle to the Romans, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, friend, had there been no sin, there would have been no corpse. Had there been no sin, there would have been no coffin. Had there been no sin, there would have been no need for the Lord Jesus Christ to leave the splendors of heaven to take into union with himself a flesh like ours, yet without sin, because he couldn't sin, because he is God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, had there been no sin, there would have been no need for him to enter into the city of Nain. To enter into the city of Nain. For as in Adam, that is our first parent, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Young man, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Young woman, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? Older woman, are you in Adam or are you in Christ? You see, Adam is the man through whom death spread to the entire world. But Jesus Christ is the greater man who overcame death by his resurrection. You see, sin has brought death and the curse. Outside of Jesus Christ, friend, you're spiritually dead. But through Jesus Christ, there is deliverance from death. In Christ, man's spiritual death is overcome, that he is able to walk in newness of life, that he is able to walk with God in newness of life. Through Christ, death itself, that is all the penalty of the law, all of the justice of God has been satisfied. And therefore, guilty men can be rescued from going down to the pit to suffer eternal death forever. And so by Christ's resurrection over the grave, death's sting is taken away so that the grave is conquered and death is robbed of its power. And the true child of God, the one who is in Christ, looks forward to be with Christ which is far better. But you who are outside of Jesus Christ, such is the sting of death, that it will last for all eternity. Reminds me of that man, Voltaire. The man had preached, there is no God. Such is the sting of death to the Christ rejecter. At his deathbed, the young maid, as I recall to memory, she said, I never want to be at the deathbed of an atheist, of one who preaches there is no God, ever again. Such was the terror that filled that man's soul as he was ushered out into God's eternity. He said, there is a God. There is a hell, and I am lost. Therefore, flee from wrath to come. Flee to the only way of salvation. Christ came into this world. Plan and purpose of redemption, to save a people from their sins. Therefore, flee to him, flee to Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But secondly, we see the compassion the Lord showed. The compassion the Lord showed, verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. We see the Lord's compassion. He saw the weeping mother and knew well what her feelings must have been. He's moved with compassion by the sorrows and tears of a grieving mother over the condition of her only boy. Her heart is broken. The heart of Christ was touched. You see, the sight moved him to deep pity. That loving heart, it could not see such things and not feel. We're reminded when the Lord Jesus Christ had fed the multitudes, in Matthew 9:38, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, he pities them and was concerned for them. He was moved with compassion on them. Not upon a temporal account as he pities the lame, the sick, but upon a spiritual account. You see, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ is a very compassionate, he's a very compassionate friend to precious souls. The very inner bowels of Christ yearn, the inner seat of pity. It was pity to souls that brought him to heaven, to earth, and to the cross. Our Lord's tender concern for neglected souls. He saw them ignorant, hopeless, helpless, dying, and unfit to die. I ask you this question, are you fit to to die. Are you fit to die? Eternity, eternity. Where will you be in eternity? This question comes to you and me. Tell me, what shall your answer be? Where will you be in eternity? And so we step back into the scene. The widow of Nain, the Lord saw her. He saw her tears and was moved with compassion at the sight of the woman's deep grief over her only child. The compassion the Lord showed in response to a mother's tears over the condition of her only boy. Hebrews 2:18, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but I want to read two verses and you'll understand why I read them. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Child of God, Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You see, the Lord's compassion in that he is able to succor those who are tempted, tested. You've heard Mr. Greer saying it, that the word succor simply means he runs to aid. He comes running to our cry, to run at the cry of one who is in deep distress. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, a sympathizing physician, tender and skillful. You see, he knows how to deal with sorrowful souls because he himself has been sick of the same disease, not of sin, but of temptation and trouble of soul. You see, the remembrance of his own sorrows, the remembrance of his own sorrows and temptation make him mindful of the trials of his people and ready to help them. You see, Christ was truly man, the God-man, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, not only of flesh and blood, but of human soul. Remember at the grave of Lazarus, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You see, Christ knew what it was to weep. And so her heart was bleeding. Her heart was bleeding and broken. And therefore, Christ truly intervenes and responds to those who weep over those who are dead in trespasses and sins. But you outside of Christ, do you understand the deep grief the pain you cause to a mother because of your condition. Oh yes, there's that earthly tie, but you're outside the fold. You're not in fellowship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Many has been the tears over your soul. A pillow soaking. Because you're still not saved. Because of your spiritual condition. And yet we find the Lord truly intervenes in response to those who weep over those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Therefore, child of God, pray on. As we saw on Tuesday night, pursue, for thou shalt overtake them and recover all. But friend, you outside of Christ, you need to come to Him. You need to leave the deadness of sin. You need to embrace Christ as He's freely offered to you in the gospel. Therefore, come to Him. Thirdly, finally, the transformation the Lord performed. The transformation the Lord performed. Verse 14, part B. In verse 15, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. The young man was dead. Such was the change. Such was the transformation. A right about turn. Newness of life. You see, he could not arise by any power of his own. No more than those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And therefore, you must see yourself as God sees you. You see, friend, you've nothing to contribute to God as to the salvation of your soul. Your church can't save you. Your attendance to church will not be enough. You can be baptized, catechized, read the Bible, and even pray. And yet, still go to a lost eternity. Because what you're saying is, my works is enough. You're saying that there's another way of salvation. You see, friend, you've nothing, absolutely nothing to offer God in and of yourself. See, friends, you cannot save yourself any more than the young man could raise himself from the dead. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, this is why he came into the world. To reverse the effects of the fall. You see, Christ is able to do what sinners cannot do for themselves. Christ transformed and changed the whole situation. Verse 14 and 15, and they came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. You see, the funeral in the city of Nain is brought to a standstill. He touches the coffin and commands the young man to arise. The crowd could not deny the power of God, for the crowd stood still. Such was the transformation that they could not deny the power of God, and here was the clear evidence of life, that he sat up and began to speak. And you know, Matthew Henry, he states, whenever Christ gives us spiritual life, he opens the lips in prayer and praise. Psalm 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in our mouths. Praise in my mouth, praise, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You see, friend, you can't deny the power of God. You may despise it. You may hate it. But you cannot deny it, because you've seen the evidence of life in a family member. You've seen the evidence that the gospel works. And therefore you cannot deny it, because it is the gospel that transforms lives. God's great plan and purpose of redemption, to save a people from their sins through the miracle of grace upon the merits of the finished work of Christ. Friend, there's power in the gospel to transform your life. There is power in the gospel to transform society, to transform our estates, to transform this town. What is it that will change Ballymena? It is the gospel and the gospel alone, because there is life in Christ. What did Christ say? He said, I am come. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Friend, you who are outside of Jesus Christ, and you are my friend, and I long to see you come to Christ. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, burdened with sin, and I will give you rest. I tell you, the gospel works. There are many in this meeting, and they are true evidence of that. And you can't deny it. Therefore, come now. Come to Christ now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Sinner, there's life in Christ. Therefore, come to him now. Come to him right this moment, and he will abundantly pardon. You see, the whole situation was transformed. Changed. Friend, you can't deny it. You may despise it. You may hate it. But you can't deny what God has done. Come to Christ and be saved now and for eternity. May the Lord bless all that has been of himself. Just call upon Mr. Greer now if he would come and close our meeting, knowing that we're still in his presence.
Let's just bow together, please, before the Lord. And as our brother Brian has said, we are still in the Lord's presence in the closing part of this meeting. I want just to take time to think about what we've heard and of the challenge that has gone out and the appeal that has been made to your soul. You who are yet in your sin and are lost. The need that's there for you to come to Christ. In a little while, we'll be going down to the door, and there you may indicate to either a brother or me that you'd like to have a word with us about your spiritual need, and maybe the Spirit of God has dealt with your heart tonight, and you're troubled, concerned, and would like to receive counsel and help. You could be saved tonight. You could become a child of God this Sabbath evening. But you must seek the Lord for that. And we're here to help you and to guide you concerning these things. So do not hesitate. Do not go away simply as you are. But this very night, seek the Lord and seek him with all your soul. So when you come to the door, make known to us if you'd like to speak with us about these matters. And Lord, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit of God will deal with sinners in this place, that the word that has gone out will be registered upon their minds. We pray that there might be that arresting of souls, and that at this very moment the grace of God will enter the heart and sinners will pass from death unto life and be brought in repentance before thee. O Lord, deal with the soul, we pray. Bring upon the heart and the mind that sense of need, that awareness of guilt, And may the convicting work of the Spirit take place, and may souls be brought through to the Saviour. Thank thee for thy servant, for his life and testimony, and for the great work that you've done on his life, raising him up, delivering him from his former state, making him a new creature. And Lord, I do pray that you will bless in days to come and use him mightily for your own glory. And may he know the hand of God in his life and on his service for thee. And so abide with us and bless us now as we come to the close of this meeting. And we pray that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Spirit will be with all who know and love thee, both tonight and forevermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.